got some powerful things to look at in Judges. So let's begin by opening the scriptures to Judges chapter 16 as we resume now our study in Samson and Christ. I did this in Tucson and got a really wonderful response in Tucson. So we have moved now to chapter 16 in the life of Samson. Let's begin with a word of prayer that Spirit can open our eyes, because this is difficult and this is unusual, and I know that. This is not the ordinary view, and I know that, but I think if we allow the Spirit to open our eyes, these are things that we can see into what He is doing. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes, that we might see those things that are here that You would have us to see, Father, that this story and why it is here, and why there is hardly anything in these chapters on the surface that would draw us to where You have brought us in Hebrews 11, in the greatest chapter of the Bible, the faith heroes. Cause us to see, Father, what's going on in these pages, and protect us from the powers of darkness that would seek to blind us so that we would not see. Pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Samson has told Delilah three lies in regard to the secret. And remember now, we've been some time since we've been here, but we're dealing with the secret. And what is your secret? And the concept of the secret is much like in regard to the world today, where the world is not asking the church, what is your secret? How can you love the manner in which you love and function in the manner in which you function? And one of the reasons the world is not asking what your secret is because they do not see the church acting any differently than they themselves act. And so therefore they have no reason for asking, what is your secret? What makes you like you are? What makes you superhuman? And what they want to do, and you recall that in each one of these three times, that it's so that he will be like mere man. This is what Satan wants to do. This is what the world wants to do, even the flesh, our own flesh, to make us like mere man. Cannot stand it when we are walking in the power of the Spirit. And again, I want to just bring it out now that we're closing out our study of this, of Samson and Christ, that what we have to realize, and if we fail to see this, and you really miss a lot that's going on in this book, we are all Samson in his weakness when we are out of the power of the Spirit. Now, a lot of Christians don't, oh, I'm not that bad. I would never do those kind of things. I'm not that horrible. Before God, we are. And until we stop denying 1 John 1:8, that we are that ugly before God and that weak, we're not going to see what's going on, why this book is here, why this story is here. We all look like Samson in his weakness. And then, on the other hand, just polarized here is his strength. And we all look like Samson in his strength when we're in the power of the Spirit in the invisible realm. This is how we look. We're that powerful. We can put to flight a thousand when we're in the power of the Spirit. So this is what's going on. And now we have seen the three attempts now and of the three things that he told her, three lies, and we studied each of the lies, how they're all related to law, some aspect of law. One of the key words in all of them is, so that I will be bound and bind and tightly bound and pegged down. That's what the law does. The law seeks to confine and to control. And what most people think is, it's like we're seeing with this Colorado disaster. If we could just get enough law, law will control people where this won't happen. And just the opposite is going to happen. The law is designed to kill. The law is designed not to make us what we want to be. But man has this idea, oh, that must be it, because if I can control myself and be bound by law, then it's going to happen. So these are the things that have been going on. And so the third lie is over, and we've noted in verse 15, let's just pick up our reading, not our study. Let's just pick up our reading now in verse 15. And then she said to him, now Samson has just snapped out of it in verse 14, out of the third lie. And so in verse 15, then she said to him, how can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me or mocked me. You remember that the corrected translation of this word now, what's going on, is mockery. We saw this, how Elijah mocked the priest of Baal. Okay, so you have mocked me. We're in Judges 16, verse 15. Just reading now, getting ourselves oriented. We missed a week here. In fact, we missed 2 weeks. You have deceived me, mocked me these 3 times, 3 lies of Samson, and have not told me where your strength, great strength is. So he's not told the secret. And we dealt with the ideal of depressing, the age-old thing, you don't love me anymore. This is one ladies, women have been using all through history. We went back and saw this with his wife in figuring out the riddle. You don't love me. Then we took a moment just to relate it to ourselves and God. And it's a horrible place. It's a wonderful place to be in your own life when you look and you say, it looks like God doesn't love me. Because God, if you loved me, this wouldn't be happening in my life. It's a wonderful place to be, because when you come to that place, you're coming to the real crisis of faith. Are you going to trust me even then? This is one of the things that we looked at in the last 2 hours we studied, spent on the Colorado disaster. Verse 16, and it came about when she pressed. Now, we're moving into some very powerful things in regard to Samson and Christ now. And it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him. So you see the continual. This verse just really presses on you. Pressed him with words and urged him, that his soul was exasperated, is the better point, to the point of death. And we've already covered 16, just to bring you back into what's going on here. So many things. We noticed in the book of Job why the whole life thing, this point to the point of death, is so powerful. But first of all, with your words, and he said, why have you crushed me with words? Very powerful what we can do to each other with words. But it's at the point of death. And we saw that this is very powerful in the battle of the crisis of faith, coming to, are you going to trust me? We saw this with Job. Why did I not die at birth? We saw it with Elijah. It is not enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. In other words, he requested for himself that he might die. A lot of believers, Jonah did the same thing. Death is better for me than life. But then we spent some very valuable time. Because what is about to happen in Samson's life is this. He is about ready to become mere man. He will do it by his own decision. He cannot figure out his secret. He cannot take him, and neither can the Philistines, until Samson allows it. And this is where we went over and spent some valuable time with Jesus Christ. It is now time in the story of Christ. It is now time for Christ to become mere man. And now they will be able to take him and beat him and then crucify him. But not until he's ready. So we have something very powerful going on here in what is happening to Samson and what has happened to Christ. And you remember, I spent some laborious time with you looking at some verses in the New Testament on that word where his soul was exasperated, pressed to the point of death. And we saw several passages in the New Testament. For an example, Matthew chapter 26, 38. Then he said, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. And it's the same kind of thing we have here, to where he is annoyed or tired or vexed to the point of death. That is Samson. So we have a picture going on of these two people at this time. Verse 16, and it came about when she pressed. And this is what's happening to Jesus Christ and going to the cross with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed, vexed, pressured, exasperated to the point of death. It is now time for Samson to become mere man. And it is time in our analogy study and our pattern study for Christ to become mere man. And until they do, they will not be taken. No one's going to take Samson if Samson doesn't want to be taken. And no one's going to take Christ unless he wants to be taken. Verse 17, getting close to where we left off now. Yes. Sure. That's what I'm saying. He made the decision. Okay, I will become weak like mere man, and you can take me. He did it voluntarily. In fact, he says in John, he says, this is why God the Father loves me. The Father loves me because I lay down my life. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I take it up. So until he, Christ, decides, until he, Samson, decides, no one is going to take it away. Verse 17, so he told her all that was in his heart. That's a powerful phrase. And we didn't do it real justice in all that's going on there, but we noted a little bit about it. All that is in his heart. And then he said to her, a razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And this is a great thing now. Even when you walk in the Spirit, truly walking in the Spirit by faith in his power, the adversary, the world, and your own flesh wants to make you back weak like ordinary man. They cannot stand it when you're walking in the power of the Spirit, the supernatural. And the world cannot handle that. When you love as Christ loves, when you forgive 70 times 7, you cannot expect not to come under great adversity. So this is God becoming man. We looked here, we spent a lot of wonderful time, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8, namely verse 7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. We noted Romans 8, 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. As an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So in our study, it is the hour for Samson to become weak like sinful man, and he will be killed like Jesus Christ. We have to allow the Spirit here to open our eyes. We can see what's going on. Otherwise, we're not going to see this. Samson, most people see Samson, you are weak and you are sinful. You are like any mere man. But Samson has chosen this. And in the picture, this is what we always do. People, let me just explain something to you. When you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, you make the decision to become like mere man. You make the decision to stop walking by faith. Sin doesn't get you out of the power of the Spirit. You are already out. Sin is a manifestation that the flesh is in control, what we normally think of sin. We, first of all, you're walking by faith in the Spirit. You make a decision. I'm going to be like mere man now. I'm going to handle this problem myself. I'm going to take over now. And so we make a decision. When we stop walking by faith in the Spirit, we at that point say, I am going to walk by my own power. I'm going to solve this by my own power or my own wisdom or my own desires of my own flesh, whatever it is. But we become like mere man. And that's why it's so clear here, if you can see what's going on here. You see why faith is all that is necessary to get back, not repentance or confession or sorrow or something like that. What we have to do is to go back to that faith that puts us back into that power. Because the fact of the faith is what we stop doing. But we make the decision to become like mere man, just like Samson did. We make that decision, just like Christ made the decision to become identified with our sins on the cross. So we make the decision to become sinful at this point. So now, we'll be taken, be killed, like Samson, like Jesus Christ. So we must allow the Spirit to cause us to see these things that are going on. Verse 17 says, he told her all that was in his heart. He said to her, again, it looks like weakness. And revealing these things. We talked about revealing ourselves to others. The important part here, a razor has never touched my head, for I have been a Nazarite of God, my mother's womb. I hope that none of you think that there's something supernatural in his long hair. I hope that no one here will ever think that. That the secret of Samson's strength is in his hair. It's not. There were men with long hair before Samson that didn't have it, and there were men after Samson in the Nazarite vow who had it. There is no superstition about his hair or his strength. And I'll show you that. But let me just say it, and then you'll see it in a moment. Samson's strength is from the Holy Spirit. It's nothing to do with his long hair. The long hair is a symbol symbolizing his submission to God, and that's what we do. When we walk by faith, what is humility, people? Humility is that I cannot do this. I need God to do it. So I walk by faith. To be humble is to walk by faith. Because what we're doing when we walk by faith, we're saying is, I can't do this. I need you to do it. I can't be righteous. You're going to have to make me righteous. I can't do this love. You're going to have to pour this love in me. I cannot do these. I trust you, your spirit, to do them through me. That's what being humble is. What's arrogance? Arrogance is I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need to walk by a submissive faith. I can do it on my own. That's what arrogance is. So the source of Samson's strength is not his hair. It was not in the Nazarite vow. It was from the Spirit of the living God. And the important word in verse 17, you'll look at it with me again, is that word to leave. Look at it with me. My strength will leave. That's a key word in his strength and his secret. Now we're getting close to the secret. When that strength leaves, I will be like mere man, any man. So hope you see what's going on here. What's the source of Samson's strength? The Holy Spirit. What happens when his strength, when he turns from the Holy Spirit, or when the Holy Spirit leaves him, what is going to happen? He becomes weak, like mere man. What is the source of our strength? What's the source of our spiritual strength? What is it? The Holy Spirit. And what happens when we lose his power? What happens? We become weak, like mere man. We are Samson, every one of us. And this is what we're seeing going on here. When you stop walking by faith in the Spirit, his power leaves you. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you, he stays. But his power, you're no longer walking in his power. Therefore, you become weak like mere man. So what are we going to do? We're going to take up one of the two things of man in weakness. We're going to, one, be very self-righteous and religious. Or two, we're going to be sinful in the flesh. One or the other. The one is respectable before the human race. The other is disrespectable before the human race, before God. They're both filthy rags. None of it is any good to God. So we fool ourselves on relative righteousness. So again, we just see the picture of what's going on. Samson's strength versus Samson's weakness. Jesus Christ's strength versus Jesus Christ's weakness. Your strength versus your weakness. So if we look at Samson, we're looking, holding up a mirror. That's me in that mirror. That's me in there. And when I choose not to walk in the power of the Spirit, I am weak, like mere man, and I look like Samson. and we want to protest and slam our foot down. No, I am not that ugly. I'm not that weak. I'm not that horrible of a person. I don't look like that. I don't have his patterns of weakness. No, you may not have his pattern of weakness, but you do have a pattern of weakness. God, people don't ever think there is any human being on planet Earth that doesn't have a pattern of weakness. Don't fall for this psychology therapy stuff that Christians are falling into. Oh, well, somebody has a real pattern of sin, and boy, they can't have, they're going to, Holy Spirit, they're going to have to go to some shrink, some therapist, some thing. They're going to have more help than just the Holy Spirit. We all are human and have a pattern. Yours may not be as offensive, but please know you have one. Peter, why are there three here? The three lies and the three things going on. It's a pattern. Why did Peter deny three times? It's a pattern. People, if they asked Peter 100 more times, he would have denied. I don't know this man. Peter has this characteristic all through his life of getting himself in these jams and then turning a coward. Jumped out of the boat and walked on water. What a great thing. Then he looked at really what was going on and looked at the water and said, wait a minute, this is impossible. I shouldn't be here. Boom. And he constantly was doing this. We all have a pattern of sin. Sometimes people will know what your pattern is, sometimes they will not. But it doesn't mean you don't have one. So we're all a Samson in our weakness. We're all Samson in our strength. When you stop walking in faith, you are like mere man. When you walk in the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit, eventually, I'm just taking it as a long time, but just to make the difference between mere man, who do we start looking like as we continue to walk in the Spirit? Jesus Christ. So you can look like mere man, or you can start being formed into the image of Christ. When we're in the flesh, we look like mere man. That's the powerful thing through this, and I hope I've made that clear. Okay, that brings us to verse 18. When Delilah saw that he told her all that was in his heart, I think this is where we left off. I got my mark here. When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. Okay. They have come up with their money in their hands. This is what they have in their hands. She has Samson in her hands. They have money in their hands. When the religious authorities came to arrest Jesus Christ, how did they know exactly where Jesus Christ would be at that exact time? At that time of the night, he was betrayed by a friend. And we have studied how only a friend can betray us. Only a friend or a lover, meaning the same word in the Hebrew, can betray us, because only they know those intimate details. An enemy person doesn't, but a friend is the one who can betray us. I just encourage you at this point, don't ever be that type of a person. Jesus Christ revealed his heart, his life, revealed his heart. Samson revealed his heart. Christ revealed his heart, revealed his life to those close to him, Judas included, and now Judas uses the information to betray him. Verse 19. And she made him sleep on her knees. We're not told how she did this. The NIV says, having put him to sleep on her lap. Both are pretty close to the original Hebrew. When I study these things, I start with the Hebrew and Greek. And then for communication, I study out of the New American Standard. But sometimes I'll look at the NIV. Sometimes King James. Sometimes I like the King James. And sometimes even other translations. Verse 19. And she made him sleep on her knees, or having put him to sleep on her lap. Okay, what do we have here? Samson is now moved into darkness. Sleep here is a picture of the sleep of death. He is out of the power of the Spirit. This is where he is. Jesus Christ giving himself over to those who came after him. And then it says, and Delilah called for a man. And that's right. Just one man. Where thousands failed, one woman and one man now do what the thousands could not do. a dramatic difference when in the power, in the spirit, and when out of his power. Samson in weakness, Samson in his power. That's our life. That's the paradox. That's the polarization of our life. That's you. You are either, at any given time in your life, people, you are as powerful as Samson is in the spirit, or you are as weak as Samson is in the flesh. And had him shave off the seven, there's our seven again, locks of his hair. Then she began, oh, this is so horrible. Then she began to afflict him. This is so powerful, so important. The Hebrew word halal, and it means to wound. It means to profane. She started profaning him, to defile, to wound. It's words like this that describe what was done to Jesus Christ, doesn't it? They humiliated him. They mocked him. They beat him. They spit on him. They had fun with him. They played and mocked him. And now we come to our secret, because it isn't in his hair. Look what we have. And his strength left him. So dramatic in the Hebrew. His strength. Actually, let me just read to you what the Hebrew says, because it has the word. We have an English word answer. Okay, this is an English word, a Hebrew word. His strength answered back. That's what the Hebrew says. What does it answer back? His strength answers back to her afflicting him. Now look what it says. His strength, in your text, his strength answered back by turning its head away from him. The Hebrew word here is what? This is one of the most horrible things that can happen to a Jew. It'll take time, and I'll show you in many places. This is what God does. God turning his head away from the Jew. It's the worst thing that God can do is just turn his head. You know, what's the worst thing somebody can do to us? Just walk away. I don't care anymore. You know, when they fight with you, you still got blood going. When they throw things at you, when you're at each other, when you're arguing or communicating or talking or whatever. But when they truly just walk away, and you can't hurt them anymore, you can't do anything to them anymore. That's a horrible place to be, because you're really alone now. You've done it. You have crossed the line. And this is what the Hebrew word pictures. God just turned his head. I don't care. Go do whatever you want to do. You want to sin? You want to go to the idols of Egypt? Go at it. You want to worship the law? Go at it. I don't even care anymore. I don't even care. I just turn my head. It's a horrible thing to happen. This is what we have happening here. This is the picture. The Hebrew word is a rich word. I'm just giving you things right out of the lexicon. It means to turn off. It means to depart. It means to leave something undone, to withdraw, to be without. All describe the taking away of the power of the Holy Spirit from Samson. That's you and me. Picture here is that Samson's strength has turned away from Samson. That power of the Holy Spirit is now withdrawn. And what I want you to look at now is the result. What happens, people, stay with me. What happens when the Holy Spirit withdraws his power? He will not withdraw himself from you. He can't. He indwells you forever. But what happens when the Holy Spirit withdraws his power from you? People, this is when we are like mere man. We're just like man. We're just like anybody else now. We're as weak as anybody, as strong as anybody in the flesh. We are as ugly. We are as dead to Christ, to God, as anybody else. There is nothing special. This is why, people, if we can understand our dead state, even though we are eternally saved, our dead position, why doing something, even if doing of sorrow or of repentance or of confession, to think that I can do something that will bring me alive again, goes back to when we were unbelievers on this side of the cross. The only thing I could do that would do it is faith. It is my faith that calls God to make me alive. This is what happens over here. It is my faith that will cause God to do what? To make me alive. because right now I am dead like mere man. I'm no better, no worse than mere man. And if you just think on that a while, not right now while we're doing that study, but just think, this is what I look like when I choose not to walk in the Spirit and faith. I am like mere man. I act like mere man. I behave like mere man. I might behave like a religious person. I might behave like a rational person. I might behave like a scoundrel. I might behave like a emotional person. I might behave like that horrible sinner. But people, we're all in the same human thing again. We're just like mere man. And there's no difference before God. We're all desperately wicked. So I hope that this picture is very vivid to you of what happens to us, how we're all this way. Now, the result is they can do whatever they want to do now. They can do whatever they desire. She can afflict him, profane him, defile him. He is like mere man. When Jesus Christ finally said, okay, they could do anything they wanted. They can spit on him, mocking, kicking, beating, make fun, pull him here, pull him there, take all of his clothes off, make fun of him, put a scarlet robe on him, put a crown of thorns around him on his head, laugh at him. They can do whatever they want. He is like no man. And this is what Satan can do with us. Look at verse 20, please. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake off, shake myself free. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He did not know. He did not realize. This is essential, again, to the whole study of Samson, dealing with this whole thing of knowing and the secret, what's going on here. By the way, note in this verse, note in our verse 20, who is the Lord? Who indwells him? Who's giving him his power? The Holy Spirit. So who's the Lord here that has now, note what it says, the Lord had departed from him. Who's the Lord? The Holy Spirit. People, who's our Lord? Our Lord is the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3. This is our Lord. The first immediate lordship we have in our life is the Holy Spirit, who then takes us to the lordship of Christ, who takes us to the lordship of God the Father, which is our ultimate objective. That's why Christ came, was to bring us to the Father. So his Lord is the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is now departed from him. Okay, let's look at what we have now, the Lord, and we know now it's the Holy Spirit. So let's see what we have happening. Look what it says. The Lord had departed from him. This is the same word in verse 17. This is the same word in verse 19. Left, departed, to withdraw, turn away. Now, let's make one more thing here. Let's take one other thing. The departure of Christ, the Holy Spirit, can never take place in you. I just want to say that. I think most of you know that. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is given to us permanently. But we can lose his power. We can lose his active ministry in us. So we can lose his power. Unfortunately, many believers don't even know when they've left his power, when they lose the power of the Spirit. They do not know that self-righteousness, arrogance, these are mental attitude sins that cause us to lose the power of the Holy Spirit. They do not know how they gain the Holy Spirit, how we lose the Holy Spirit. James dealt with this. You claim to be in faith, but I know you're not. I can just look at your assembly. I don't even have to follow you around in your private life. All I have to do is sit in the assembly, and I see you're not walking in the faith that you say, because you show partiality in the assembly. You wouldn't be doing that in the Spirit. Okay, verse 21. Then the Philistines seized him. Let's note the things that are going to happen to him now. These are things that happen to you and to me when we're out of the Spirit. The Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. Five things going on. This is another one of those verses in this whole study that is just so packed, that demands so much time that we're not going to give it. Okay. Then the Philistines. Temporal particle, then. People, I don't know if you have, you know, on your refrigerator, and may not even do it, but a lot of times we have words and stuff. Here's a word that you really want to grind into your heart, to your soul, kind of press it on your forehead inside, is the word then. The temporal word then. Once the Holy Spirit departs, this word then is a stern warning. It's a simple warning. It's a simple warning to all of us. When we stop walking in the power of the Spirit, when we stop walking by faith in the Spirit, the things that will start happening. You can't believe how the world, put it down here, then how the world, the flesh, your own flesh, and the devil, you can't believe how they look at you. You just can't believe it. You're walking, when you stop walking by faith and the Spirit leaves, the power of the Holy Spirit leaves, then they start looking at you. I enjoy watching Animal World on TV. And one of the, and my favorite, of course, not of course, if you don't know, but my favorite is the lion. I love anything they have to do on lions. And the hunt. And what not just the lions, all of them do, but they look for the weak one. They look for one that is alone from the herd, a zebra, alone from the herd, that's just out by itself. A wannabe that's maybe caught in the mud crossing the river. Then the lion comes. Lion's going to leave you. He's just looking, prowling, looking when you're in the herd. All you have to do is set yourself out of that herd for any type of reason. Be separated from the herd. Then you are the target. Then. But note what's before that. That's why it's a stern warning to all of us. You walk in the power of the Spirit, you're not just free game. You're not free game. But the moment you stop walking in the power of the Spirit, then they smell the blood. They see, now he's weak. It's all Satan had to do. Remember our study? When Satan calls your name with Peter? All he had to do was separate him from Christ. Separating from the disciples, get him over there that night with all of those other unbelievers, warming his hands, then Satan had him. He's now free meat. Go get him. That's all that has to happen. And all that has to happen to us is you stop walking by faith in the Spirit, then sin, failure, all kinds of things, arrogance, self-righteousness, a lot of things start coming in from the flesh, from the world. The world starts setting up its things to bring you down. The flesh starts to take over. Satan starts to see how he can bring you down and have play with you. Anything out of the flesh starts happening. Now why? Why do they all move in? Why are they going to move in at this time? Because you are no longer in the power. You are weak like mere man. Now listen, because now we have to take up that word like. People, you and I are not mere man. We are aliens down here. We are born from above. We are not mere man any longer. The moment you accepted Christ, you became a new creature in Christ. But when you and I are out of that power of the Spirit, we look like mere man. And that's why you become a prime target for these three creatures, the world, the flesh, and the devil, if we please. They start moving in on you to bring you down. to destroy you. Satan prowls about like a lion, see who he can devour. And who can he devour? Those who are no longer in the spirit, that look like mere man. And that's what he wants to do. That's what he can do. So we must see ourselves as the world sees us. We must see ourselves as the flesh sees us, as Satan sees us, out of the power of the Spirit. What do I really look like? They see us as victims to be pounced upon and brought low. How does God see us? God sees us as weak, helpless without Him, to be brought back to His power. And that, people, is why you and I are to do what? We are to restore one another. How do you see a believer who looks like mere man? I mean you personally. Your own soul, answer yourself. How do you see one who is prey, no longer in the spirit, and you see them weak? Do you see them like the world, somebody to be trounced upon, beaten down, to build yourself up? Somebody to be kicked out of the assembly, out of the flock? Somebody to build yourself up on? Or do you see them somebody you need to go and restore? It's up to you. I've just given you a vivid picture of how the world and the flesh and the devil see us without the Spirit. I showed you how God sees us as somebody that is weak without His power, that needs to be restored. And you and I have to decide for ourselves, how do you see another Christian when you see them out of that power? So this is what's going on. Then the Philistines, the enemies to the plan of God, the world and the flesh is the picture here. All three involved in so many of the things that cause us to leave. Okay. Now, let's continue. Then the Philistines seized him. To seize so as to possess and control. To seize so as to possess and to control. And they will do this. They will seek to seize one who walks in the power of the Spirit. But the first thing they have to do is get us separated from that power. Then they can bring us down. And people, let me just assure you, any person out of the power of the Spirit can be brought down. So this is what they're doing. So this is what's happening to Samson. This is what happened to our Savior. Look with me at Matthew 21, please. Look with me at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Look at verse 46. Matthew 21, verse 46. And when they sought to seize him, they feared the multitude because they held him to be a prophet. Now, they can't seize him, can they? What's stopping them from seizing at this point here in this verse, their fear of the people, because they don't want the people angry at them. Religious people, arrogant people, self-righteous people, always cater to people, always worried about people. Now jump to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Let's look at some verses. First of all, in Matthew 26, let's look at verse 4. And they plotted together to seize Jesus by secrecy, by stealth. For what purpose? To kill. This is what they plan on doing. This is what they've been trying to do with Samson. Let's look at verse 48. 48-50. Now he who was betraying him, Judas, gave them a sign saying, whomever I shall kiss, he is the one who sees him. People, all I'm saying here, these words are no mistake. These are not just, there's just so many things we've seen now in our study of Samson with just exact parallel patterns, even tonight, to the point of death, the vexed soul and the vexed spirit. Pressed like mere man, and for both of them. Now we see, whoever I kiss, he is the one, sees him. Verse 49, and immediately he went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him, and Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. That's what they want to do. Look at this from John. Look at John 7 with me a moment, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. Let's look at verse 30. John 7, verse 30. They were seeking, therefore, to seize him, and no man laid hand on him, because his hour hath not yet come. See, they weren't going to seize him until he's ready. They're not going to seize Samson until he's ready. They're not going to seize you people until you walk out of the Spirit, until you decide to say, "I'll move out of the Spirit." Look at verse 32. The Pharisees heard the multitudes muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to seize him. Look at verse 44, same chapter. And some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him, not yet. Look at chapter 8, if you will, verse 20. Chapter 8, verse 20. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. So when his hour comes, he will volunteer himself. Now, before we go on to what they do once they seize Samson, I want to take a moment with you tonight. What should we do? What should we do when we are out of the power of the Holy Spirit? His power has departed from us, which means we're weak and we sin. And the world and religion, the world, flesh, and the devil seizes us. What are we to do? Let's get a picture of that. Turn with me to Psalm 56. Let's look at Psalm 56, if you will, please. Psalm 56. What happens and what should we do? Psalm 56, 1. Be gracious, O God, for man is trampled upon me. And we're going to see this is by his own doing. It's by his own doing. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. By the way, I didn't even have this in my notes. I'd read the text, but let me just ask you, who's coming to see Samson? Philistines. I noticed in the introduction, look at the occasion of Psalm 56. For the choir director, according to Jonas, Elam, Rechonim,